Go ahead.
Okay. Very good. We're back in regular session. And so there is an item that I want to spend the next maybe 10 minutes or so talking about. It's not on the agenda tonight, but it will be on the agenda perhaps at our next meeting. And so you're probably getting emails, I'm getting emails from residents that surround that piece of land on Cotton. And so that's what I want to talk about. So there's various thoughts I have on this. And so the facts, some of the facts are that the person who bought this land, whether it was on a tax lien sale or whatever it was, that is just fine. How, if you acquire it for nothing, I don't really care. Good for him. And but he knew that what he was buying and has regularly tried to have the city rezone it. This is his first formal attempt to have it rezoned.
There were discussions in 1993 about it.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
David Bunker said he would call about every year and a half or so, saying, "Do you think the council has appetite for this?" And he said that he told him regularly that we did not. And I'm not completely sympathetic, not completely unsympathetic to him. However, he knew what he was buying. So, as I'm thinking about this, the residents that surround that area have benefited from these two gentlemen that own both pieces owning that land, and they want to continue to benefit from someone other than themselves owning that land and have it not be anything other than that. So, so I proposed to them in a meeting a while back that the best solution to this is for them to pool their assets, buy the land, and then enter into a permanent conservation easement. Mr. Shaw, I did find out about this. And so the way that a permanent, and there's many parts of this, and so Denise and I had a conversation which I'm going to get to in a minute. But to enter into a permanent conservation easement, you need two parties. You need a party who owns the land, and then there's a party who maintains it for their benefit. So that is a good relationship for the residents in the city if that's what the residents wanted. We have to think in terms of what the entire city wants and what's best for the entire city. But if those residents were to create an LLC, purchase the land, and then donate it to the city, or actually the proper term is encumber the city through a conservation easement to maintain it for them, that can be good. Speaking with Denise this afternoon, she came up with another idea, which I really kind of like. She said that maybe we should have a walking park. Not a traditional park, not landscaping, but just have a gravel road or maybe a paved road at the bottom of this crevasse, and then maybe have something in between where they can exercise or something, and not spend a lot of money doing this, but the entire city could benefit from that. What I don't like is some of the residents there want us to just buy the land, turn it into maybe something similar, or nothing at all, just leave it natural, which some of them like. And if that happens, then only they will get the benefit of not seeing another home there, whereas the rest of the residents of Cedar Hills will probably not even know it exists and get virtually no benefit at all. So, if the residents there...
They do get some benefit from it in the sense that the open space does benefit Saul. It provides a place for wildlife. It creates a different environment where wildlife can move into the parts of the city.
Yeah.
So, but I understand where you're coming from.
And I have, right, and I have,
not as much of a benefit as if it also had a walkway.
And I understand where you're coming from as well, that some people have that point of view. And so, and some people don't. But if, and we have to think about if the city as a whole, the majority of the residents of the city want to use this, let's just call it a park, for argument's sake, want to use this as a park, then let's make it something that could benefit everyone as opposed to 30 homes. And so that's what I would rather, is that if you guys want to buy the land from these two homeowners, and if you just leave it natural, then the city is going to be maintaining that because we own it. But not nearly as many people will benefit from it. And we also need to remember, just because something was on the capital improvement list at some point doesn't mean that there was a promise by the city to turn this into a park. Some of them believe that we promised to turn this into a park. And I don't believe that to be the case. So, kind of a long preamble. I really like Denise's idea, assuming that you guys do. It solves a number of problems. But if those residents just want to turn it into native, then maybe they ought to buy it, turn it over to the city as permanent conservation easement, and we maintain it. So I welcome all your thoughts.
Is there talk of them buying it?
When I presented it to them, there wasn't anyone that said no, but there wasn't anyone that said yes either. So I just presented it.
So my thoughts. First of all, I was always under the impression that it was going to be developed as some kind of usable space with a trail system. It was never going to just be native plants. That was my understanding from the city's perspective.
That is true.
Okay, so that's my impression, Denise, always, is that we were going to develop that land into usable space by the community, not just have it be native. So I'm completely on board with that. I have heard from several of the residents, in fact, all of the candidates this year, for several residents, and the impression that I received from most of them is that they were not interested in purchasing it themselves, that they were expecting that the city should uphold its general fund and its intent of developing this. I haven't talked to anyone who said that they wanted to remain native. They were fine with the city developing it in some sort of usable open space.
With that provision, though, it's not like we'd be laying sod and creating a park. It would be, bannered around the idea of a possible dog park. A walking trail has been discussed. We could just be a great place for something like that, incorporate an indoor trail system. When I brought that up to residents, some of them have liked it, some of them have not. So there is some of the residents there that would like to see it maintained as is. That's a mixed bag.
So I really like the idea of the city changing its plan because this is part of its park system. I also really like Denise's idea. This is a good way to expand our trail system. So if you look at our trail map, there actually is a trail that comes in and dead ends into that neighborhood directly across the street from this open land.
Yeah.
And so it would be contiguous with our trail system, allow us to give residents a somewhat unique view of Utah County. If you go up into that top down area, it has absolutely gorgeous views. I don't get from my house of Utah Lake and the surrounding area southward. I would love to have a trail through there as well as a gazebo. I wouldn't mind a small amount of grass if we had room for it up in the flatter part of the top. I'd rather not put a dog park there because that has the potential to really annoy neighbors because it is right in the middle of a bunch of homes. But I think it's a great location to provide a natural walking space. Residents really like this part of our neighborhood. That's one of the biggest benefits of Cedar Hills is the trails in the park running for town. People use it all the time.
Even so,
bring them a little bit closer to another neighborhood.
But we've heard a lot of people asking for dog parks. That was why the idea was thrown about. The other spot we talked about, a dog park, would be St. Andrews is a nice potential spot for that reason. However, one thing to consider is that with the acquisition of the Harvey Park land, the priority for funds is going to be directed towards development of that land, as it benefits the entire community, even the surrounding communities. That has the potential to be the real flagship park. So this one is going to be put on the back burner for a while. So, it does belong in the city's long-term general plan, or their long-term master plan for park development. And that's why it was moved into the public facility zone. But with it being in the long-term plan, I think that was one of the reasons why the Planning Commission recommended moving it back into the R115 or the R111,000 zone, but remaining, having the open space provision remain intact.
I would like the council, I would love it if it would be on the agenda before I leave, to do the same thing with St. Andrews and put that into public facilities and have a long-term plan, and maybe 20 years out, to eventually reconfigure the golf course up there and put in a dog park or some other facility that is a gateway into our fitness. That would be a massive asset for us.
Okay.
So I was talking too about one of the ideas that has been living across the street from this parcel of land for 13 years. The idea of the walking trail is ideal. Our kids would go down and play all the time, but it's kind of dangerous, snakes and all these things. So having a connector from Oak Road East over to Oak Road West, connecting to the trail on the street, I thought was great. I also thought of the idea that they have a lot in Europe, where you have these great walking trails, and every, you know, so many yards, you have this little place where you stop and make pull-ups, or you stop and make a little climb, and they do this. It's a fun exercise path. We don't have anything like that in Cedar Hills. And I think it would be a really great asset to the neighborhood to have something like that where people can go and exercise and walk and connect up to the other trails in the city.
So,
I think that's one way for them. I tend to agree with the, you know, the little pocket thing, but I don't think they need to rezone it.
Can I share some concerns about that? We are bringing an ordinance change to address that very issue about weed abatement on public facility zone. One of the issues, though, is that if the ordinance isn't worded right, then all of the city's land would be subject to weed abatement. We own hundreds of acres up the mountain hillside, so it would have to, the wording there has to be carefully done. So.
So we'll leave it up to you to work.
That's what we're doing. So, but that is in the works to bring to the Planning Commission, or sorry, to bring to the City Council as a Planning Commission. They don't get a say in that version. So.
Well, that's a lot. And, I mean, I don't know if the parks, who's the Parks and Beautification meeting?
No,
Daniel.
Are they aware of this little incident? I mean, have they weighed in on it? Would they like to see this?
I have not heard this person.
Weighed in on what, Matt, on what way?
I mean, this discussion about open space, could it be a pocket park, could it be a dog park?
See,
you got to be aware of it.
No, this Oak Road parcel.
Oh.
This parcel.
They will be. But right now, we're not conceptually designing, right, planning anything on it.
Okay. Let's go ahead. And so, let's take close to a 15, a little bit, maybe longer than a 15-minute break. We'll be back here right at 7 in order to start. Thank you very much.
Where's this going to go?
I don't know. I have to talk to you about that.